3, 2, 1, go!
Welcome back, everybody, to the Triad of the Force podcast, a podcast from Puerto Rican friends coming together to do deep dives into Star Wars and other nerd-related media. This is season 4, and today we are dedicating the episode to one of our favorite characters in Star Wars, the infamous Anakin Skywalker. Now, we kind of thought this was the best time for it because we're in, you know, the Hayden Christensen renaissance, We were feeling a little inspired when we were talking about that last episode of Ahsoka and how kind of Anakin's story came full circle within that show. So we kind of wanted just to deep dive into this character that we haven't, you know, dedicated an entire episode to yet. So here we are, Anakin Skywalker.
It's so interesting. It's so interesting because it's been a roller coaster of sorts, right? Mm-hmm. With Anakin Skywalker and Hayden Christensen's portrayal of Anakin Skywalker since the prequels to now. It's been very, I mean, it started very negatively, right? But it's so nice to like have it be very positive. It's been a roller coaster, and we're in a crescendo, and it's all of a sudden like in this really great moment. But before we get too deep into things, we have to keep reminding everybody that I mean, by the time we're recording this, the SAG-AFTRA 2023 strike is still ongoing. Without the labor of the actors currently on strike, the movies and shows we're going to be discussing here would not be possible. So, you know, let's be cognizant of that. It's been a long time, but it just because it's been a long time doesn't mean that we get to ignore it. Hopefully that there's a deal soon with the AMPTP. According to everything we've seen from the SAG-AFTRA official channels, it seems like things might be going in the right direction. So hopefully a deal is struck soon, and a deal that's fair to all the actors on strike. If you're willing and able, please contribute to the Community Actors Fund, which is in the description below. And if you're not able, please raise awareness through any means that you can by sharing any posts from SAG-AFTRA on social media, or just not forgetting about it and to support the actors. Because, you know, without the actors, we couldn't have gotten Hayden to act in this role, so it's very important. And Jake Lloyd, we can't forget Jake Lloyd, the original Anakin Skywalker. But Anakin Skywalker's been it's a fascinating character just because there's been so much mythos around him, especially with the original trilogy. The first time we hear his character's name is in episode 4 when Obi-Wan Kenobi mentions, you know, Anakin Skywalker's name as a good friend and a great pilot, and how he was murdered by Darth Vader. I guess that's the best place to start. It's just like the moment that we first hear that name as Luke Skywalker's father. Nani, do you remember like how you felt at that moment? Because at least for me personally, like I remember the original trilogy as a group. So I don't remember how I felt in episode 4 when I heard the name, but do you remember that moment, like having to...
I don't actually. I mean, we're always, you know, to clarify to our audience that we grew up with all three of the originals already out, but before the prequel trilogies came out, so we thought, you know, those three movies were the only thing we really knew of Star Wars while we were growing up. And I don't even remember if I watched them in order originally. I kind of just remember them being a part of my life since I was little, and always knowing that Darth Vader was Anakin, you know? But I don't remember that shock moment in, you know, in Empire, like finding out that it's, that he's the father. But because I kind of grew up always knowing, it was like a constant. So I wish I could remember like the exact moment when I found out and what I felt, because it's always shocking to me when people who don't know do find out. But now that's really hard to find, because even people that don't know anything about Star Wars know that Anakin is Darth Vader. So
it's a ubiquitous part of this cultural zeitgeist. But it's wild. It's wild to think about. It's like, especially now, because I'm in a nostalgic mood lately. I will admit, especially we were talking before starting to record, especially now that the Beatles released their final song, and it's so wild to think about a new Beatles song in 2023, listening to Paul McCartney and Ringo Starr doing things in 2023 with audio recordings from John Lennon from the 70s and George Harrison from the 90s. And it's like, you know, it's like, it's necromancy, right? We're listening to the, to quote Star Wars, the dead speak, right? It's weird to think about like how the past is haunting us still. And in a way, that's how it kind of feels to think about the original trilogy in that way. It's like this era that we didn't know, right, that we were going to get anything else from it, and that we would be at this day and age, right, talking about Anakin Skywalker in 2023 as a Force ghost, but not Sebastian Stan Force ghost. It's Hayden Christensen, and not replaced in Return of the Jedi for continuity with the prequels. Like, no, brand spanking new Force ghost, Hayden Christensen as Anakin Skywalker.
With the Jedi robes in
in a new Star Wars show. So it's
crazy.
It's crazy to think of that journey. And it all started in Return of the Jedi to an extent when we finally got to see Sebastian Shaw. Oh my God, I stumbled on my words there. As as the Force ghost of Anakin Skywalker and the man behind Darth Vader's mask. Right. How did that scene make you feel when you were like seeing for the first time when they take off the mask of this, horror horror villain. And all of a sudden it's just like this crusty white guy with a, I know
that's so crazy to think about it now, because now we have so much more meat to the story of Anakin Skywalker. But when we were growing up, all we really knew was Darth Vader. You know, all we know of Anakin Skywalker is the name and, you know, that he is Darth Vader. But all we know is Vader, like this villain of one of our favorite movies that, you know, again, that don't know anything about it, know this is a person to fear. And that scene at the end, I mean, I still sometimes, I like rewatching them every so often, and that scene still kind of makes me tear up, like the whole like reconciliation with Luke, and you know, seeing this, like you were saying, it's this armor, you're afraid of this person, he is a terror. And we did get, we'll talk about it when we get there, but in Obi-Wan we got to really see a terror Darth Vader, which was fantastic, aside from obviously the hallway scene in Rogue One. But to see this fearful, like always, you know, sitting up straight, just like imposing man, just be this old dude who is trying to save his son from torture, and he's just, all he wanted to do before he died was to see him with his own eyes and not through the mask, which is, to me, it's so incredibly depressing. But it's a really compelling story. But we know that he redeems himself then. But that's all we get from the original trilogy. We still, you know, to us, he's still like the bad guy. You do have that image of him, you know, finally making it in becoming one with the Force when you see all three Force ghosts at the end. And it's like, oh, he finally made it back to Yoda and Obi-Wan and everything. But since we don't know all the background and how the character necessarily got there, it's a beautiful scene, but we don't necessarily understand everything that was implicated there. And as we get to know this character, it's more and more impactful. And I don't necessarily agree that it should have been changed to Christian Haydenson in the cuts.
When Christian Haydenson, who's that?
Hayden Christensen. Estoy como tú cambiando las palabras. I didn't like it when they switched him.
When that happened and you didn't like it, you were in a different point. Yeah, you were in a different point in your life. Let's put it that way.
True. And I don't necessarily think it's the way to go. I mean, I know that that's what Anakin, you know, when he was a Jedi, that's what Anakin looked like. But to me, like, because he became redeemed at the end, that is the way that he should enter, you know, into the Force. After everything, it's like you're erasing everything that happened when he was Darth Vader, which it was also a part of him, which is great. You know, obviously we get the Force ghost in Ahsoka, but at the end of the original trilogy, I think it should have been like the original actor, but that's my opinion.
It's interesting because in hindsight, I mean, let's talk about that now, right? Since you brought it up. It's always funny to go back and think about the original trilogy and all the different changes that George Lucas was doing to it. Because like every time there was a re-release of the movies, like there was a little change. It was a little change, and all the fans were up in arms about it and being like, why would you touch it and change it and make it something different? And just leave it alone. Let it be the thing that we fell in love with originally, which is a valid point in terms of like the preservation of cinema. It's just like, like have the thing be the thing it was. But at the end of the day, also, I do accept the argument that like the creator never ends. Like the process, and like if he feels that there were things that he couldn't do that he needed to like improve, especially after the prequels came out, to like help tie everything together so that it's one cohesive package, then sure. I just don't think that it should be at the expense of destroying the original vision. I think that make changes, but make sure to preserve the original as well, so that like we have that record. So you know, I think it's not either or, it's both and. Yeah. I know I say that all the time, but you know, nuance is important in all these conversations. And to that extent, to remove ourselves from the in-world reasoning of who should be there, like old Anakin or young Anakin, I think narratively, in terms of like how we as an audience see the films, the films, right?
Yeah.
I think it's 100% justified to change Sebastian Shaw to Hayden Christensen, because we as an audience, right?
Yeah.
Let's assume we're watching them chronologically. Then all of a sudden we get to six and it's like, who the hell is this guy? Yeah. That's not the guy that's been seeing. That's not
Anakin. Yeah.
So it's one of those things where like, I think there's a visual consistency that needs to occur so that the story is, you know, read in a cohesive way, which I think is one of the issues that we're having now in this cinematic universe conversation with the MCU, and should we recast Kang because of all the issues that are happening with the actor, or should we recast the original trilogy actors in any new stories that are happening, or should we keep doing the deepfake thing? I think that both conversations are valid. I think they're very different to that extent, because one is about continuing stories with like new actors, which I think is completely valid. I think it's arguably the right thing to do. And another one's just like, okay, making sure that the old story has like a cohesive visual structure to it. So that's why I am totally on board with Hayden Christensen at the end of Return of the Jedi, because think about it, because then all of a sudden, like, you see Hayden Christensen, some guy. And then you see like Obi-Wan and Ahsoka, and it's just like Hayden Christensen.
Yeah.
It's just like it's kind of cognitive dissonance all of a sudden. It's like, whoa. It's like, who's that guy?
You're right. Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah. But it was interesting watching Return of the Jedi growing up, and then seeing some fragile old man inside that suit. Because it's so visually impactful, and rightly so. Because you see like this unstoppable force of terror. And then what's behind it is like this vulnerable, scared, fragile person,
broken man,
which is kind of a mirror to Palpatine to an extent, because Palpatine is also like a old man, but opposite of Vader, he's exposing his frailty, but using that, the mask is the old frailty, when inside it's just like this evil darkness, right? That's unstoppable. And Vader's the opposite. Like, he has the mask that portrays the unstoppable evil, but on the inside, he's like this frail, you know, old man. So it's visually jarring, right? To see that for the first time, be like, oh, what's going on? Especially if you saw Star Wars, how we did, which is like without the prequels. So we don't know anything about the Anakin character. All of a sudden, that's the first time we see him.
Yep.
And it's like, oh man, like that's
oh
that's,
wow, that was Darth Vader the whole time. Wow. which was wild. Yeah, it was
and poetic, and I think it is definitely like the right thing. George Lucas, you know what you're doing, man. Sometimes. Other times other times not so much, and we'll get to those. Empire Return of the Jedi came out in 1983.
Yeah, so the that year means I was that, born.
that means that there were a couple of years without any more stories, and Episode One only came out in 1999. So, in all that time, we kind of, at least I personally, didn't really know too much about the Anakin character besides everything we learned in the original trilogy up until Phantom Menace. Nani, what was, did you ever think about Anakin Skywalker before episode one was announced?
Not really. I gotta be honest. Not really. I mean, there's always that question in how he ended up maimed and in that suit, you know, that's always something that stays in the back of your mind. But I wasn't really into, you know, reading the comics or any of the books or anything. I was just like a fan of the movies and that was it. I didn't really look into it too much. So when episode one was first announced, I remember, you know, first feeling shock because I never thought we were going to get any more Star Wars. It was the three films and that was it. So when they first announced the originals and then I remember that first like teaser or something. That's when Anakin is meeting Obi-Wan for the first time. And when you first see it, you think it's Luke somehow. And you're like, but that's weird because, you know, why did they go back to like a young Luke, whatever? And then when you find out that they went all the way back to Anakin, I thought, one, it was a super bold move. Mm-hmm. And I was just super excited. Those posters of, what's his name, Frank Lloyd? Like the kid who played him?
Jake Lloyd,
and that awesome poster of him just standing next to the building in Tatooine, and the shadow of Darth Vader is the shadow he casts. And I remember thinking, I can't believe they're going all the way back to a little Anakin. So we're going to get the whole story now. And I remember feeling really, really excited about it.
It's interesting because I keep saying it's interesting every time.
Yeah.
You finish the thought, but it is. I don't remember, and this is the point where I'm not sure if I'm making up a memory or not. Now I don't know when I started reading Star Wars books. I don't know if it was like pre episode one or post episode one. I'm gonna go with post episode one because I was probably like too young. I was what? I think 11. Yeah, like when episode one came out, 1999. I was born in 88. So yeah. So probably afterwards, I started reading Star Wars books. So probably I didn't have much of a consciousness of Anakin's character of like what that history might have been before episode four. So I do remember, and I was looking it up while you were talking, I do remember that there was like a painting that was done in the 90s that showed like a dark Anakin showed like his wife that was unnamed at the time with a baby. Mm-hmm. But I think that's one of those things that I discovered like after like I started getting to lore and starting to read the books and all those things. And that's when the mythology as well started to be kind of sprinkled in. I remember knowing about the Obi-Wan and Anakin fight over lava. I know that was volcano. That was kind of like a thing that people knew about.
That people knew.
That happened. And I don't remember. And that I probably should have researched that for this episode for sure. hindsight's 2020. But I don't remember what story that came off from or if that was from a reference book or something. But I distinctly recall like at least going into episode two and definitely going to episode three, that was what happened.
That was a thing that was going to happen.
Like the thing of how the final confrontation was. That there was either a volcano or there was some lava or fire in between like Obi-Wan and Anakin. And that's how that was going to occur. But yeah, I think for episode one, though, it was very virgin in that sense. Because there was like no preconceived notions into that. And I was the perfect age for that movie, too, because I was at an age where I'm just like, I had no expectations and didn't have, you know, like, I mean, obviously I had an emotional attachment to Star Wars, but it wasn't in a way that, you know, I felt entitled to it so that I could project my expectations to it in a selfish way. I was just like a clean slate. So it's like, oh, new Star Wars, this is great. Let's go.
Yeah.
Let's do it. And episode one, I loved it. I loved episode one. You know, it was great.
I loved episode one too.
And you know, I watched it very uncritically at the time. So like I didn't particularly care about Jake Lloyd's portrayal of Anakin. I didn't care that like Anakin was a baby. He's not a baby. He's what, like nine or something?
But he was really young.
He was a very young child instead of like a teenager, like we were hoping or expecting. Well, me hope expecting right. after mm-hmm. I got older. But yeah, I was able to enjoy the ride like non-critically and be like, oh, there he is. There's Anakin Skywalker. And yeah. it's great. And honestly, I wish I could kind of go back a little bit and capture that naivete and that
childhood wonder.
And that yeah, and that wonder of being able to just enjoy the thing for what it yeah. is, instead of like coming in with this cynicism.
Super judgmental. Sometimes
we yeah. have now, I feel.
Yeah.
Like we have yeah. done strides. I think we've come away from the people we were back in the early aughts, and I think
we were, especially about episode two, we were kind of hateful. We were on the bandwagon.
We were not the kindest people to episode yeah. two, mm-hmm. and we'll get there. But I feel, and I think the podcast has definitely been like a great vehicle for that, to be able to be like, hey,
to soothe those emotions.
let's stop being jerks and just take things for what they are and appreciate them for what they were and move past it and be able mm-hmm. to watch things without the expectations that we unfairly project on things. But yeah, Attack of the Clones is when we actually, because despite seeing the Anakin in episode one, like, you know, that's it's too early, I think, in his development as a character to be able to start, not judging him, but like
start making him dark or something. Yeah,
right.
He was too much of a kid. Yeah,
it's that portrayal kind of stands on its own as like you know.
You kind of start you do establish like his attachments and you know the fear that he has of being alone, losing his mother. So I mean, it's good that it was established really early on. But you know, he's still a kid, so we can't really see any darkness in him. But in Attack of the Clones, there's already you know. Signs there.
So let's do that. Attack of the Clones. Okay. We already kind of prefaced it saying that we might not have been as kind to it as we probably should have been. So Natalie, take yourself back. Go back to that younger version of yourself watching Attack of the Clones for the first time. And well, I think there's two discussions, because there's one, the how we felt watching the movie the first time, and then like how we felt revisiting it. So how did you feel watching Attack of the Clones, and specifically Hayden's portrayal of Anakin when you first saw the movie?
Yeah. I was not a fan.
Really? Like from the get-go?
From the get-go.
Interesting.
The whole like age gap between Anakin and Padme like kind of grossed me out a little bit. I did not understand the need for that. And it's so kind of weird when like he first like sees Padme again, and he's kind of like this obsessed like stalker kind of version is how they portray it, and she's just like still calling him Annie and you know, like he's a little kid, and it kind of still gives me the creeps a little bit, honestly. But yeah, and I thought the character, and obviously it wasn't Hayden's fault. I mean, I was super judgmental back then. I was like, he's a terrible actor, he doesn't know what Anakin is supposed to be. Clearly it wasn't his fault. The writing was just like, that's how the character was written. But I found him super annoying and whiny, and I was not a fan. And then, sorry, George Lucas, we just said that you do some things right, but other things you do not know how to do, like that's writing conversations between people. You don't know how people talk, people at least. So, and even back then, when I first saw it, the love story just was not believable to me. I couldn't see it. It was like, he was like her stalker, and she just kind of, well, he's a kid and it's fine, and I'll give him a chance. So I didn't really believe this like tragic love story that, you know, you were kind of expecting what was going to happen. Obviously it ends in tragedy, but because I don't buy the love story kind of to begin with, it was kind of jarring to me. So yeah, wasn't a fan.
It's kind of a thankless task, honestly, to make a prequel. I commend George for the attempt, right? And now, I mean, now, like, let's backtrack a little bit. When I saw Attack of the Clones, I loved that movie. Like, it was amazing. I thought it was like everything.
You were all in.
I was, and I remember like it was yesterday trying to go to that movie, because I remember I had bought. Because like in the original trilogy days, I had like my plastic Darth Vader lightsaber. And then when it was time, when to the lead up of Attack of the Clones, all the toys had been released. So I had bought, well, I had bought, my parents bought me the Anakin Skywalker blue lightsaber. And I remember I really wanted it because the hilt is like the opposite of the Darth Vader one. It's like the same hilt, but with the without black. So I'm like, oh my God, I have black, I have the Darth Vader, now I need the Anakin. So, and I remember the internet was starting up in those days. So we had that, so I had dial up. So I was able to kind of see pictures of and videos of like the premieres all over the world. And I remember seeing people bringing their lightsabers into the movie theater and being excited about it. I'm like, oh, well, I have a lightsaber. Let's go. So I remember I went to the Caribbean Cinemas at San Patricio, went with my parents to go see Attack of the Clones. And I bring my lightsaber. And then the usher there, I was taking tickets. It's like, oh, no, you can't bring lightsaber because that's a weapon, blah, blah. And like everyone was like, it's a plastic toy. It's like, what are you talking about? So whatever. My family's very polite, so we didn't really fight too much. So I had to run to the car to leave the lightsaber.
Drop off the lightsaber.
To come back. And this is all beside the point. It's just to say that, like, I was very excited for the movie. And I loved it, especially with the whole Yoda fighting Count Dooku and all the Jedi and the Geonosis Arena. Like, those were things that, like, now I'm not a big fan of because I feel like those weren't probably the right way to portray some of those things.
Yeah.
But at the time, I was just like, oh, my God, this is the best thing. There were no faults in this trilogy.
For you,
at the time, as far as I was concerned. Yeah. It's only after the fact that you start getting older and getting more cynical and talking to you and
well, I mean, by the time Attack of the Clones came out, I was in college, so you know, I was too cool for school and I had to criticize everything.
That's true. And we all go through that.
And I had clearly lost the childhood wonder. I was on the hate train.
That's fine. We all go through. We all have to be cognizant that, you know, that we have to be better at some point. But yeah, but again, like, I didn't see too many problems with the Anakin portrayal just because I was watching Star Wars to enjoy it.
New Star Wars,
exactly. Just like, it's new Star Wars. And then all the video games would come out. I had like Jedi Starfighter and then Galactic Battlegrounds and then the expansions with like all the clone campaigns. And I was living my best life. And when was this? 2002. So I was loving it. It's interesting how much changed between coming out of Attack of the Clones and then going into Revenge of the Sith, because I think that's when the whole kind of switch was starting to happen of being a little more there are some things here that are maybe not the best, but I was still on the hype train. I didn't see those faults, although to kind of fast forward to my point of view, which kind of aligned with yours a little bit, I do think that the Anakin portrayal was just rushed in a way, because episode one didn't kind of give you the benefit of developing those relationships between him and Obi-Wan, two, mm-hmm. him and Padme. So you kind of have to cram all those things into one movie that is also doing a lot of heavy lifting for the trilogy to be able to establish the Clone Wars.
The Clone Wars,
So the movie was, the movie was doing a lot with very little time. Yeah. So in hindsight, it's a rushed movie because it was kind of didn't have the benefit of having the previous movie to develop a lot of these things. So I don't know if the decision to have made Padme have that age gap appropriate, because then again, like, you don't have like that time for them to reconcile that in some way. Maybe it would have been better. I mean, it shoulda, woulda, coulda type of thing. Maybe it could have been better if like Anakin maybe was a little older and like that relationship is explored a little bit more as a developing friendship in episode one. And then in two, it gets more complex because now they're both adults or something like that. But, you know, but that's not the movie we got. We can only talk about the movie we have. And, you know, in Love and War, anything goes. And maybe it was one of those things where like, it's war. So we kind of... speed through, we're about to get killed. we're about to get killed by these animals here in the arena. So I love you, man. I love you.
I love you.
And she's like,
you caught up CGI apples or pears for me. Yeah. in a creepy, creepy way.
The thing about that scene is that
scene is so creepy.
Well, one, but two, it's kudos to Natalie Portman. It's her trying to get like the bite of the CGI pear, and then you just see it disappear inside her. It's God, like, I don't know in what world George thought that was sexy.
Oh God,
it's.
It's one of the worst seduction scenes I've ever seen. Look, it's just terrible.
The dating scene sucks to begin with, and you always want to be like, you always want to put yourself apart from the herd and be like, ah, but I'm cooler than all those guys. And obviously, Anakin had the advantage of having the Force. Having Jedi Pouch. But I'm not sure that particular usage of the Force was the most erotic way to, you know, seduce Padme. I don't know. I don't have the Force. I don't know what but that's
what you would actually do. But probably not that.
But if I were to make a top 5 list, that would not crack the top 20. I don't know.
No idea.
But Padme did, you know, one of the things that I've always found hilarious too, and I see this on the internet all the time, so there's no need to beat a dead horse about it, is the scene when Padme is telling Anakin no, that they can't do this. Because he's a senator and he's a Jedi, and what would people think? Blah, blah, blah. And then she wears the sexiest dress in the history of Star Wars. And it's just like, girl, like, you're like, that's some mixed signals things.
Yeah.
Like, wear some, I don't know, wear some pajama bottoms or something, but don't wear like the sexiest dress in the history of the galaxy to tell him you can't be with him, because that's just gonna, and it did, right? Short circuit him to an extent. I don't know. I don't have sexy dresses, I guess, but if I did, that's not the direction I would go in.
Okay.
But poor Anakin, but you know, but things worked out to an extent. He lost his arm, but.
Got a wife,
I guess. Revenge of the Sith is, I feel like I think most fans would think that is the better of the trilogy. What did you think of Anakin there? Do you feel that Hayden's performance was a little better from like how you received it in Attack of the Clones, or do you think that it was just a symptom of the story kind of being a little more faster paced and more what we wanted from that movie to tie back to the original trilogy? What were your thoughts there?
I did think it was better, the portrayal of the character, and maybe it is like you were saying, it's just because the story is different and we get to see, you know, his transition into Darth Vader, which is kind of what all of us wanted to see. Like that was the end game. I remember I did actually really like it when I first saw it. I was like in a good mood because I had just graduated from college. So I literally went from my graduation ceremony to the movie theaters to watch Revenge of the Sith. So I did like it. Obviously, at the end, even that first watching, the whole Padme died for love, and like,
there's good in him though.
She's completely healthy. She's just lost the will to live, kind of thing. Was just like super stupid to me, even back then. And I also, that whole death scene. She's like dying and naming the twins, and it was so overdramatic. And obviously, that terrible no from Vader at the end. but otherwise, I really, really enjoy it. It was kind of afterwards that I started to have issues with like the lava fight being too long, and you know, all the other issues that I started to have with the film. But in general, I enjoyed Hayden's portrayal of Anakin way more in this film, and I was actually pretty satisfied with it. There were still, you know, some lines that don't really fit into like the emotion for some of those scenes. Some of the conversations were still kind of wooden, but again, that's because George should not have written those scripts. But otherwise, I was a little bit more, you know, sucked into what was happening.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think?
I was about to say what I always say after you wrap up saying something, but this time
that's interesting.
I didn't say it. You did.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like there were some of the similar issues that we had with Attack of the Clones with the Revenge of the Sith, and it's that it's very rushed, and necessarily so, because it's a movie that has to continue the beginning of the Clone Wars, but also wrap them up. So you have to kind of get from A to C and skipping through B sometimes. So I do think that Hayden was great in the movie. I just think that he didn't, not him personally, like the character didn't have enough time to flesh out his story beats with all the characters. Because, for example, his relationship with Padme and Obi-Wan should be like number one. But they're all separated for most of the movie. Yeah. And Padme,
was a weird decision. Yeah.
Yeah. And as badass as Padme is in episode 1 and 2, she is for the most part sidelined during 3. And I understand that she's pregnant, so pregnant women can't get on airplanes, but she can still, you know, find a way. I'm sure that there's been enough badass women in history that have done a lot of badass things while pregnant. So we could have figured that out instead of like making her this fawning character, right? Because I felt that during Revenge of the Sith, she's always in her apartment crying or pining or Anakin.
And being like all needy and kind of...
Which felt very
weak and
character for her, which also didn't leave a lot of time for him, for her and Anakin to have a lot of development for their relationship.
Right.
In my opinion. And the same could be said with Obi-Wan. They're separated right at the beginning of the movie, just like they were in Attack of the Clones. So I don't feel that we ever got to feel Obi-Wan and Anakin be the father and son or the brothers in arms that we're always told that they are. So, and I know that's the nature of the movie. The movie needs to, you know, get going because there's lots of things that need to happen to get to make Anakin Darth Vader. I get that. But in terms of like the human core of the performance and like how those relationships happen between those characters, it just didn't happen because it's lacking time.
Yeah.
And maybe, and this is going to be controversial because I know a lot of younger millennials and Gen Zers love the Revenge of the Sith lava fight, but I think that fight,
it's too CGI'd. It sucks.
I'm sorry. I think it's a bottom tier. It's only above Attack of the Clones in terms of like the lightsaber fights in the whole saga, because it's just it feels too choreographed instead of like raw, a Duel of the Fates does, for example. And I think maybe we have cut half of that fight and just given it to moments between Anakin and Padme, and Obi-Wan. That would have definitely benefited a lot to highlight the tragedy of Anakin's fall. What was happening, So that's it. You know, I feel like on the whole, I feel like the prequels, considering that Anakin is supposed to be the main character of the prequels, and he wasn't during one of those movies, kind of did a disservice to that development of him as a character, not Hayden's performance. I think Hayden's performance was the best that he could do with the material that he got. Yep. And I think that is definitely going to be highlighted when we talk about his portrayals in Obi-Wan and Ahsoka. But after the prequels, we were able to get some Star Wars content that was able to maybe bridge a lot of those gaps that we've been talking about from some dissatisfaction we might have had in terms of like those interpersonal relationships. And that is the great and mighty The Clone Wars. Nanny, you took a while to get into The Clone Wars.
I took a long time. I remember when it first came out, I wasn't a fan of the animation and I was like, I don't need this for anything. It's just gonna be, I didn't know what I thought it was supposed to be, but I just thought it was not something that I needed. I don't know why. I was just like, I don't like the animation and style.
But you love the Bad Batch.
I love the Bad Batch, but I got into the Bad Batch after I got into Clone Wars.
I know, that's the same and animation I started, style.
No, and the animation style, it definitely improved every season.
And
it's still not my go-to animation, but I ended up falling in love with the show. And obviously, you know, the only reason I watched it was for the podcast because I was basically forced. Weird. Yeah, I know. And it was weird that it took me so long because Josbando was actually a huge fan. And he would constantly try to get me to watch it. It's like, you need to watch this. I know you are kind of upset with the prequels because you didn't get enough of the Clone Wars. You didn't get to see Anakin as a general. You didn't get to see all these things. That's what this show is. Watch it. And I think it took me a while to really get into it too, because at first it's kind of like the episodes are very disjointed and yeah. you don't get a lot of like consistent story beats, and you'd be like, oh, you get into one storyline and then, oh, it's done. We're moving on to something else.
So you mean that the whole arc aspect yeah. of it wasn't
especially because at you. First because eventually they get better because it's like 3-episode arcs and you see like more continuity, but at first I felt like it was more disjointed, so mm-hmm. it took me a little bit to really get into it, and for some reason I really hated Padme episodes. But I stuck with it, ended up completely falling in love with it by the time we get to the last season 7, right? I was like totally invested. I feel like it added so much to the story, to who Anakin was, to his relationships with his closest people, Padme, Obi-Wan, Ahsoka. Ahsoka was such a smart play to give him a Padawan and just kind of have to flesh out who he is as a Jedi and who he is as a Jedi at war. And I really did fall in love with it. And, you know, I'm sorry it took me so long, but now that...
The important thing is you made it.
I know. And to me, that series, so for people that have not wanted to watch it for whatever reason, it really elevates the prequels and it adds so much more to the story of Anakin and just the Jedi in general during the Clone Wars. And, you know, not only that, but the relationships that he had with the 501st. So we get so much meat into, like, the relationships with the clones, with their people, like, how he leads and... I kind of want to watch it again.
You should. It's available currently on Disney Plus.
Yes.
How did you feel though, specifically with like I was going to say Hayden's portrayal, with Anakin's portrayal by Matt Lattner now?
I thought that was really on point. I mean, that was the Anakin that I wanted all along. That great leader that, because it isn't tragic if it's somebody that nobody likes or somebody that didn't do anything. I mean,
right,
you have to see how great of a leader he was, how loved he was by his men, how loved he was by his wife, by his friend Obi-Wan, by his Padawan, for his story to be as tragic as it is, because you see this great man, this great leader fall so horribly. And I think it was established in the Clone Wars just what an extraordinary leader he really was and why everybody thought that Anakin Skywalker was a hero, and how horrible it was for the people that knew that Anakin became Darth Vader.
For me, one of the things that threw me off at first, and obviously this is a nitpick, so like I'm bringing it up to see what you think of this, was the voice, because everyone else for the most part, I mean, especially like the James Arnold Taylor's doing like a spot on Obi-Wan. Catherine Tabor, I think, is the actor that did Padme. Kind of sounds like Padme, but for me, like Matt Lattner wasn't sounding like Anakin. Like, did you get that when you started watching it? Like he first starts talking, did you feel a disconnect between how he sounded in the show versus how he sounded in the in the movie?
Well, because I didn't really like how he sounded in the movies, because it was like this kind of whiny, kind of younger version. So to hear him be like a little bit more masculine, I guess is the correct word. I don't know, because he has like a deeper voice. And so I don't think it was so much of a disconnect for me. And it kind of seemed like a different Anakin. Like we're getting a whole new Anakin. So just because of that, I don't think, and because I wasn't a fan of like the previous version that we've gotten, I was like, oh, I'm okay with this Anakin. This is fine.
I don't know if that was then a conscious decision by Dave Filoni, whoever it was that was, you know, involved with,
to like make him sound older, acting, more mature or something,
or to just distance him from the portrayal yeah. of Anakin.
There
in
had
the
been
movie.
A lot of backlash. Yeah, there was a lot of hate for Hayden back then.
It was a lot of hate for a lot of people back then, yeah. Which we need to, yeah. you know, atone for as fans. But I'm not sure if that was kind of a conscious decision to say like,
distance
okay,
let's
do kind of a different thing and a different sound for this character to, you know, just do kind of our own version of it. Hopefully not. But hopefully it was just like, well, this is the right person for the character, and he just happens to sound a little different,
older, more mature. Yeah.
But I mean, I wouldn't say that sounds older, more mature, because I do think that there's a lot of immaturity to Anakin.
To Anakin
during,
yeah.
especially like during obviously the first half of the show, which is like, you know, that reckless playfulness to him. But I think where the show had really excels was kind of having a lot of moments between him, Obi-Wan, and Padme. And like through those, and obviously Ahsoka is another vehicle for Anakin to also express himself, and for us to see where he's at and what he feels about things, because he can't confide with Padme and Obi-Wan about some things the way that he can with Ahsoka.
Yeah.
So it's great to see like this trinity of characters that like Anakin can relate to in different facets life.
Yeah.
In those different ways that really, really complement the Anakin of the films. And then especially the Anakin of Revenge of the Sith really recontextualizes it for us, especially after we see Ahsoka leave the Jedi Order.
Yeah,
and
how that
Anakin's
disenfranchisement
with that. It's wild. It's wild, like how, some other story can completely give a lot more depth and nuance to a previous one that we saw before. Now, I'm not saying that all stories should count on that to be able to give the gravitas to the individual story that it needs, because now it's just like, oh, well, we won't develop that, because then we'll just have a show or a book
something
that's
else
develop
that
it
explains
so
it yeah.
so, that, mm-hmm. so that it fixes it. It's like, no, that's lazy. I think that it should stand on its own, and if something else comes in that enhances it, all the better for it. But yeah, but I think definitely the Clone Wars did a lot for us as fans to be able to at least understand a little bit better what
because I feel
Anakin
like
of the prequels was about.
Yeah, and especially in Revenge, for me it felt like it was too easy for Anakin to be turned. I felt like it was too easy. And then with the Clone Wars, we get that he was having issues with the Jedi. There's a lot of stuff that he stopped believing in, and especially after Ahsoka left him, he was in a very vulnerable place. So I feel like all of that fed into obviously all the things that Palpatine was telling him, and it makes way more sense for him to have turned after knowing everything that he knows from the Clone Wars. So that was one thing that I was always, you know, before I watched Clone Wars, that I would think, why did he turn so easily? I mean, I know he was afraid that he was going to lose Padme and all this stuff, but it was like, it was a pretty quick decision. But now that, you know, from Clone Wars, from all the experiences that he had to go through, that it wasn't necessarily an easy decision.
Or quick.
And it felt, I think, to him when he made that decision, that it was the only one.
Yep.
So.
Good job, Filoni. That was good. That was good with the Clone Wars. After that, we don't really have, I mean, obviously a lot more stories in publishing that we can talk about, but we would be here for hours on end, and obviously the both of us have not read all the stories, so we're mainly focusing on TV and film. So after that, we haven't really seen Anakin again until the sequel trilogy, and the only way we actually get to see him is as a Force voice, I guess, and Rise of Skywalker, when he tells Rey that she can do it, when she's talking to the spirits of Jedi past and all that stuff. But it's interesting the approach that the sequel trilogy took in terms of how it handled the prequel trilogy, which is which I think is a disservice to Star Wars as a whole, because if you're gonna have like this new trilogy, it's gonna tie and bookend six whole films, so then ignore half of those films,
right?
Or a third, I guess, if you're looking at all three trilogies. It's unfair, especially for a lot of like millennial fans and Gen Z fans that like come up with a lot of them
grew with the prequel trilogy
as mm-hmm. their main yeah. trilogy, to now have and not even acknowledge it at all is a baffling choice, especially
yeah.
without giving Darth Vader the nuance that he deserved, because the story of Darth Vader isn't about Darth Vader, it's about his redemption. And right. then to see Kylo
obsessing over the helmet and
be a fanboy yeah. over Darth Vader.
Yeah.
I think it's good. I think it's cool storytelling. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. and if you listen to our episodes from a couple of years ago when we were, you know, discussing the sequel trilogy, one of the missed opportunities was just like how we recontextualize Darth Vader for Kylo Ren or Ben Solo, yeah. right? And mm-hmm. that never happens. You know, we never really get like a moment where we stop to say like Darth Vader isn't the person. The person is Anakin. And Darth yeah. Vader was, you know, a persona that mm-hmm. Anakin adopted after his yeah. fall to the dark side, and he renounced once he came back. So,
right.
and how that mirrors and ties into Ben's journey, it's yeah. left on the cutting room floor for some reason. So it's very unfulfilling to see a story of the Chosen One through six films and then like the sequel trilogy not get the acknowledgement that the yeah, Chosen that, One mm-hmm. deserves. How did you yeah. feel about that? Did you come into the sequel trilogy expecting some Anakin Skywalker, or, you know, were you just like, let's not even talk about it?
Well, I remember we had a lot of conversations building up to the sequel trilogy.
Oh, like, yes, we did. It was a beautiful time.
We were so excited. Again, we didn't think we were going to get them when it was announced that everybody was coming back for it.
Again, it's a magical it's so time. 2015.
It was a magical time having all those like conversations about what we expected. And I think we talked about like maybe some of the Force Ghosts coming back. And I think that would have been a way for, you know, Anakin to be brought back, which, I mean, I think it was a missed opportunity. Because, I mean, you do get, you know, Obi-Wan Kenobi as a Force Ghost in the original ones. And then you could use Anakin. Like, Anakin did redeem himself. You would think that maybe mm-hmm. he'd have, you know, some conversations with Luke. Maybe with Leia, who we never got to meet while he was alive. You know, mm-hmm. there were things there. Like, he became a part of the Force. So, he's an asset there that you could use. And, you know, we got Yoda as a Force Ghost coming mm-hmm. back in the film, so why not Anakin? So I did think we were gonna get something. I was really disappointed at him, like Kylo Ren talking to the melted helmet, because to me that's when Luke takes his body to burn at the pyre is one of the things that always stand out to me a lot about the original films. And to just see that degraded into like it's a melted helmet that Kylo uses as an idol, as an excuse mm-hmm. to act like the villain, when, like you said, the story about Anakin wasn't about being the villain. It's about the fact that even after all the heinous things that he did, he was able to redeem himself. Right. And it's, you would think they would raise him knowing the whole story, you know, not just let him think that, like, did he not know the whole story? Did they never tell him, or did he just decide to ignore the story? And
he does know the whole story. He does. Oh. But he thinks that, like, Anakin Skywalker was the failed version and that Darth yeah. Vader was the true...
Was the true version. Yeah. So I don't know.
He had a distorted view mm-hmm. of it because of, you know... Mm-hmm. That's one of those books that I haven't read, Bloodline. I haven't read a couple of those ones that touch specifically on it, but I do know that he is aware.
He did know the story. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But, no, I agree. And especially with Rise of Skywalker, which, pet peeve of mine, it should have been called Rise of Skywalker, not The Rise of Skywalker. It's a pet peeve. Is the Return of the Jedi called The Return of the Jedi?
Yeah.
Is Revenge of the Sith called The Revenge of the Sith? Like, no, it's like,
yeah.
it's like, there's a nice symmetry to all three
yeah.
final...
Leave it alone.
All
yeah.
three final films to be something of the something. And then it's mm-hmm. just, they all start with R. And that's it. I don't know why it annoys me so much. But I don't know why. The original trilogy only has one film title that starts with the, and that's The Empire Strikes Back. The prequel trilogy only has one, and that's The Phantom Menace. And the sequel trilogy, all three start with the, and I don't know why it drives me up the wall. Rise of Skywalker. That's it. Rise yeah. of Skywalker. Yeah. Why do you need mm-hmm. to call it The Rise of Skywalker? Yeah. Done. Anyway. small rant done, concluded. Yeah. We can move on with our lives. I mean, you can. Yes. I won't move on with my life, but I'll stop talking about it. Okay. It's that scene when, and I know it's a poignant scene. I know why it is the person that it is. But when Kylo talks to the memory of Han Solo, I'm just like, I mean, I get it. It's his father. Yeah. He did patricide. And it makes sense that the person that can, you know, fill that gap, since mm-hmm. Leia can't do it, since Carrie Fisher passed,
yeah.
it makes sense that it's Harrison Ford. But to also an extent, don't we want
Anakin?
Yeah. Anakin? And it's one of those things where, like, is that the right moment for Anakin? Probably not, because yeah. he never had a relationship with him. Thinking might maybe makes more sense, like you said, to have had Anakin with Luke, since yeah. it's like, you know, father and son, all that stuff, and then it's Luke's ghost that haunts mm-hmm. Kylo, like in some of the leaked mm-hmm. scripts that happen. But it's so odd to have this giant presence of the chosen one be both acknowledged and ignored, because it's yeah, you have the yeah. voice in Rise of Skywalker there at the end, but then you don't say his name during the whole of the movies, and you only bring in Darth Vader because Darth Vader sells. I don't know. As much as I love most of the yeah. sequel trilogy, I feel like there was a lot of missed opportunity there to be connective mm-hmm. of like all right. nine films.
Mm-hmm.
And instead it just feels like, okay, let's just tie into the original trilogy.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree.
But that would not be the end of the story for,
for any
Anakin or Hayden Christensen. And when we got the announcement for Obi-Wan Kenobi, we also got the announcement that Hayden would be coming back as Darth Vader. As yeah. Darth Vader. They only announced it as Darth Vader. They didn't announce Anakin Skywalker would yeah. be coming back. And I remember we were speculating back then. We had an episode called The Chosen One's Reprise, where we were talking about that return and if yeah. like you're not going to bring back Hayden Christensen and not show his face.
Just for the helmet.
Just for yeah. the helmet, because they already mm-hmm. had an actor portray Darth Vader in Rogue One, blah, blah, blah. Blah. Mm-hmm. Lo and behold, we were right. So looking back now, in the lead up to Ahsoka, having Obi-Wan Kenobi, a cold open of sorts to Hayden's return to yeah. both of the characters, Darth Vader and Anakin Skywalker. How did you feel about it, especially as someone who didn't respond all that well to his portrayal
original, yeah.
in the
yeah.
prequels? Were you still excited that he was still going to do it, even though you weren't thrilled?
I was actually really excited, because once I got over my unfair hate and acknowledging the fact that it really wasn't his fault as an actor, like mm-hmm. the decisions that were made with the character, because he has no control over the script or anything, you know, it's really nostalgic to have him back. I mean, even if I wasn't a huge fan sometimes, it's still Star Wars. I always love Star Wars, and to have Hayden Christensen back, and to have, you know, the fandom kind of re-embrace him for, you know, all the unfair hate that he got for a lot yep. of years, it was really exciting. And then the way they did it, because they brought back Darth Vader and brought back Or Vader, done mm-hmm, in a mm-hmm. really, really intense way, and mm-hmm. and to see the continuation of his relationship with Obi-Wan once he became Darth Vader. Because
right.
we'd only seen that one fight in episode 4, and it was kind of, you know, short. And as much as I love the original ones, that fight is very, very point, you know? And
you know, then, yeah. whatever. We're not going to talk about that.
I know. But to see it, you know, now, like the mm-hmm. aggressiveness, the kind of the hate, you know, like
mm-hmm.
you are the reason I'm in this suit, that I don't have most of my limbs, that, you know, and now I will drag you through the fire kind of thing. It was,
what are you? I am what you made me. It's like, oh my God, that's a great line. Yep.
It's so good. It was so good. And then to have the flashbacks that we were so hoping for, to actually see him as Anakin Skywalker, you know, training with Obi-Wan, trying to see, you know, how they were before everything went to shit, and then
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
continuing through, you know, Vader's hunt of Obi-Wan, because it's like his last tie to him being Anakin is Obi-Wan in his mind, because his kids, he doesn't know they exist. And Luke is like, he kind of put it off his mind, but his last connection, and then obviously they didn't know him as Anakin anyway, but his last connection to who Anakin was is Obi-Wan, and his need to like destroy him so he can completely ignore that Anakin ever existed. And everything they did with the half helmet off, where you got to see half his face, like reminiscent of what they did in Rebels when he meets with Ahsoka. Yeah, so it was so good. And I thought Hayden Christensen's acting was spot on. I believed him as Anakin, as the Anakin I fell in love with in Clone Wars. He was able to transition that and become that Anakin. Even more so in Ahsoka, and we'll get to that. But yeah, he is the Anakin from the Clone Wars. And we got to see him.
Do you feel, though, that Obi-Wan, the show, would have benefited from being a movie over a show?
Maybe. Because there were some things that weren't necessary, I guess, to get the story to come full circle. But the thing is that I did actually like the show. So
yeah, I thought the show was great. Yeah.
So I think things that we didn't necessarily think that were necessary, we would have been lacking. It was just a film, because there was so much going on with his relationship with Anakin, but his relationship with Leia, I thought, was fantastic. And I think if we would have limited to a movie, it would have felt really rushed, and we wouldn't have gotten as much fleshing out of those relationships. As we did.
So. I agree. Yeah. And yeah, I agree with everything you say. So like, I don't feel like I don't need to add that much. The only thing maybe is that I wish, and again, I think this is counter to the argument of like, maybe a movie would have been better because it could have been more lean in terms of the story, but making it more lean also means that we don't get to have more of a thing. Yeah. And I think that maybe the show, and maybe this is me being selfish, who knows, might have benefited from having either a longer flashback. Actually, not a longer flashback scene. I think the show would have benefited of more flashbacks.
More flashbacks.
Like, they're just like these snippets that are happening.
Snippets of, yeah.
Every time, not every time, but every once in a while when something kind of happens and it triggers, like, a memory from Obi-Wan.
Right. And to, like, parallel to what's happening in the present, and then
Exactly. I mean, the same way that the flashback operated in the show, I feel like maybe a couple more of those would have really flesh that out a bit more. And maybe it actually doesn't need the fleshing out. If you want the fleshing out, go watch the prequels or the Clone Wars show.
Yeah.
But I was just selfish.
Just to see the two of them together.
I want the two of them together. And especially because I wanted Clone Wars armor. So I really was,
But we got that in Ahsoka.
I was getting very greedy.
Obviously,
we didn't get Obi-Wan, but we got Anakin. Yeah. Oh my God. One of the best days of my life. But yeah, I was very greedy. I was very greedy during Obi-Wan. I'm like, I need this.
I need
this. Even though I got some of it, I was just like, that's not. I want more. But we did get a lot more. And now, like in the final part of this conversation, up until maybe a further episode when Anakin comes back again, who knows? But now with Ahsoka, that concluded a couple weeks ago, we have obviously not only more Anakin, but a lot more Anakin in a lot of different versions of himself, which I thought was incredible. So obviously Hayden, back when he was cast for Obi-Wan, it was rumored that he was also cast in Ahsoka at the same time, and that he would be working on those shows in tandem. Obviously, he was denying it, saying like, oh, it would be great to work on it, but I'm not part of it. Obviously, that was a lie, and we thankfully were right, and we got Hayden in Ahsoka in a way that I think actually transcends his appearance in Obi-Wan Kenobi, in my opinion.
Because it does.
Just the one, I mean, he's in a couple episodes, but the one episode, I think it was episode 5, when they're in the world between worlds, something
mind-blowing.
That as Star Wars fans, that was the culmination of all these decades of storytelling from the prequels to Clone Wars and now like this Disney Plus era of Star Wars storytelling to kind of crescendo into in this moment, right?
Yeah.
It was something that I never knew was going to happen. Always wanted, I guess, even though I didn't know that I wanted it, but it was incredible and it exceeded all of my expectations. What about yours? Did you have expectations of like how Hayden was going to show up? And if so, were they met, were they exceeded, or did they fall short?
I didn't really know what to expect. I didn't think we were going to get as much of him as we got, honestly. I was really surprised by that. I was hoping we were going to get a world between worlds kind of thing happening, especially because there were hints about it from the beginning that this is where we were headed. But that episode, I was never expecting anything like that. I think that's actually my favorite episode of the show.
Mm-hmm.
It exceeded all expectations I could have had. I think Hayden was on point.
Mm-hmm.
And then to see him with, you know, the Clone Wars armor, to see him with the 501st, to see him first, like, with young Ahsoka and, like, that development. Because it's one thing to have been redeemed by saving your son. It's another thing to kind of, like, try to fix that relationship with Ahsoka. Because as we saw in Rebels, he was able to see her again as Darth Vader. And there was always a lot of guilt in Ahsoka that she felt that she was going to end up like Anakin. So mm-hmm. Anakin coming back to her after being redeemed, it just kind of brings the whole story for full circle. Mm-hmm. And to see, because I don't think he really knew how to finish her training. And then he was able to do it now after, you know, everything that happened and after being redeemed by saving his son and finding his humanity again. And it was just, I thought it was a beautiful end. I mean, we have him now back. Like, it isn't necessarily the end of Anakin, but to see him kind of like fulfill his role as master and be able to give Ahsoka the confidence to be a master herself, because she was struggling with it so much because she never finished her training really.
Right.
And to be able to see that with Hayden Christensen, and, you know, get to see him at the end with the robes and everything, like completely becoming who he was. It's just, it was beautiful.
It was beautiful. It was beautiful.
Never in my life.
Never in my life did I think that sequence in the world between worlds was going to happen. And it was so good, because it's one of those things where you don't know what you're going to get and you don't know what you want either. So,
and then you get so much more.
Like, we want Hayden back, but we also want the Anakin from the Clone Wars. But Hayden's never met Ahsoka or Rosario Dawson's Ahsoka. So like, we don't know like how his portrayals,
how it's gonna work.
It was a tough cookie, right, for Hayden to do, because he needed to kind of merge like his own portrayal of mm-hmm. Anakin with Matt Lattner's portrayal, like in during the Clone Wars, but also kind of do like his, like, oh, I've own been Vader thing, yeah. I've been mm-hmm. Vader, and now I'm in the, you know, I'm in a different moment in my life because I'm one with the Force now. So he's not just playing Anakin Skywalker, he's playing Anakin Skywalker,
and we do get completely that different glimpse moments of Vader Anakin, like when his eyes go yellow again and everything. Oh, it's so good.
And Hayden just like magnificently and masterfully transitions from like mm-hmm. all of those different ones. Like he's like, he's the, you know, one with the Force Anakin, is very confident and at peace. He goes back to his joyful Matt Lattner Clone Wars jokey
reckless
self
fighting.
It goes to the dark Anakin from Revenge of the Sith. So the fact that Hayden Christensen is able to pull all of that off in just one episode, it's kind of a testament to the talent that he is.
Masterful.
I know he never got the rank of master from Mace Windu, but we the Triad bestow the rank of master to Anakin Skywalker. So now we need to get in touch with Hayden Christensen's agent so we can get him on the show, so we can, you know,
so we can knight bestow him.
So we can knight him by the will of the Force, by the will of the Council. We'll do all that stuff. But yeah, no, it's beautiful. And to kind of end the show that way with just like his Force ghost just looking like proud and like Ahsoka, that how far she's come and as she goes into the next part of her journey, it's something beautiful. And again, it makes things taste a little better because Revenge of the Sith left us with a bad taste in our mouth with how the fandom treated Hayden in such a terrible way, and to like now be 10 years almost 20 years later.
Yeah.
Oh my God, next year is going to be, wait, what year is it? We're in
2023.
In 2 years, it's going to be the 20th anniversary of Revenge of the Sith, which is kind of wild to think about.
Wow.
2005, 2025. This is insane how time flies. But to see how in less than like in 18 years time, we went from like this toxic fandom, which is still toxic, let's be honest, but toxic against Hayden to all of a sudden like be so happy and congratulatory and welcoming and satisfied, right? And it's wild because the last time we see Hayden's Anakin is in Revenge of the Sith when the mask comes down. And the last time we see him now is as a Force ghost with his, you know, full, like, we get to see him. Last time we saw him, it's like we're hiding him. And now he's just like himself again. And I think it's pretty, pretty damn poetic to see how, like, everything, like you said, has come full circle. And I don't know a better way to see this story, because some stories don't get kind of a second chance to kind of come around and, like, make people happy in this way. And the fact that we're here is kind of a testament to the joy that Star Wars fans can have if they kind of get over themselves.
If we embrace it. Because that was so good. It was.
And again, I think it's worth noting that it's not a matter of redemption. Hayden Christensen never needed redemption. The ones that needed redemptions were the fans.
Were us. We needed to get over
us. Us that like were not kind and were not, you know, good.
Fair.
Good and either. Fair.
We were not fair.
So thankfully, like a large contingency has been able to get over themselves and like see that we're just people trying to love the same franchise that we know that we've been trying to love for all this time. And Hayden Christensen is one of those people. Like he loved Star Wars when he got cast, and he still loves it. And I'm so happy to have been able to be at Celebration the couple of times that I have been to it and see how fans are so loving to him now, and get him to see that love and get him to feel it, because he wasn't feeling it for a while. So to be able to finally be back and be like, no, this is like this is a 180. It's a beautiful moment for sure.
I think with that we're done.
I think so. I don't know. Until Ahsoka season 2. That we maybe, and this is us getting greedy again, until we get a little bit
maybe
more,
we get a little bit more
of Hayden Christensen. So we'll see.
We'll see. So any last thoughts?
Only that I'm excited for future Triad episodes. I think Ahsoka really kind of got our creative juices flowing in terms of topics that we'd like to discuss in the future. So hopefully now that like we're finally getting back to some stability. I know that last week we didn't release something,
start churning out
but,
some more
but we're getting back on that saddle. Don't worry about it, and it'll be fun. It'll be fun. The couple of episodes that we have planned, so I'm excited for that.
I am excited too. We had a little glitch, but
this second half of 2023,
it's been hard. I mean, the strikes were a huge deal too, and it's been a year, but.
Yeah, I mean, I feel the first half of the year was great. It's like a epic year, but the second half has been, it's been a struggle bus, not going to lie.
But we're still here. We're still here,
and that's what matters.
And we are the Triad of the Force. So remember to like, subscribe, ring that bell, leave us some comments. We want to know what you think about Anakin Skywalker, what he's meant to you as a character throughout all these years. And, just let us know what you're thinking. Love Star Wars. We love you. And until next time, may the Force be with you.